In today's episode, I talk with Malte Winter, who started as a working student in a company which does digital consulting, which builds software tools, etc., for small business owners in Denmark. And after a while, they recognize, okay, the digital signature is a thing, and they build a software for it, which I got, which I liked, and I invited Malte to be part of the podcast. So happy, a really good episode today. I really recommend listening if you're interested in starting a software as a service tooling, because I think there are pretty interesting insights in how the whole thing started. And yeah, let's go. Okay, welcome back to a new episode of the Digital Economics Podcast. Today I have Malte Winter here, who is part of a founding team of GoatSign. GoatSign is something like DocuSign. Maybe people know DocuSign, like software tooling where you can sign paperwork and you don't have to print anything, which is, in my personal opinion, a great, great advantage because, like, you don't have a printer sometimes. Printers are really annoying. I really hate printers a lot. And I think it's such a waste of, like, resources that we are still printing out stuff. So my personal opinion about signing paperwork is if a company is sending me a letter, I call them, I ask them, can we do this paperwork digital? If not, I don't sign.
That's good. That's good to hear.
So, Malte, tell me, how did it start? How did you came up with the idea?
So just to start off, so I'm a part of a small consultancy agency in Denmark, and we are two men in this company, and then we have an offshore developer team, which helps us with our more technical solutions. So, of course, our primary activities are consulting regarding IT, but we also deliver custom software solutions for those who need it, often smaller businesses. We have also worked together with larger customers, but primarily smaller businesses in Denmark.
Well, what and do they request, like a website or like some CRM?
So we've built custom bridges between CRM and, for example, we have a client who has a lot of what you call them temp workers, and he rents them out to businesses. So he needed a platform where they could register hours and how much they worked on each project and stuff. And then we made a bridge to his CRM, and then it imported data into that automatically. So often it's integrations between two systems, but we've also had customers who had a digital catalog, and then they say, okay, can you digitize this for me and make it online so my customers can order through this? So it's primarily, I don't know, it's everything. Just if they have a wish, we can make it often than not.
Yeah. Okay, and at some point you came up with the idea to...
Yeah, so one day we had this customer and he needed a signature feature in his CRM system. And during this task, we of course surveyed the market for possible actors who could solve this issue. So we proposed multiple for him. And he said, okay, none of these are suiting. Some of them were missing features. Others were too expensive and so on and so on. So we also related to that as a consultancy agency because we sign numerous contracts ourselves and have been looking for a provider which can support our needs. So it resulted in us creating a custom signature feature for him. So we built it from scratch and implemented it into his CRM system. And this got us thinking that, okay, maybe we should just build our own signature solution. So we don't need to go to DocuSign or any of these other actors in the signature market. So that's basically how the idea of GoatSign got started. So then we sat down and, you know, the big brainstorm of what do you call it and how do we do it and all this kind of stuff went through our heads. So, and at some point, my coworker, Yannick, he got the idea of calling it GoatSign. So it's the greatest of all time. and that's what we strive to be. But at the moment, we know that it's a great solution. We have many good things, but there are still a long way for us to go to be a complete solution, because we have this mentality that we didn't want to start to make a solution just for us, because maybe some other small firm like us need a solution. So we had a pretty loose idea of requirements. We knew that it should be for the little man, so small businesses, and that was basically it. So we started to make the simplest version of GoSign that we could. So just allow people to sign documents digital. And that was it. And then we had a bit of extra features just to monetize it so that people could buy, for example, a lifetime subscription to our solution, so that could get us started. Just so we got some revenue, because currently it's just a cost for the business. So we feed, or how do you call it? We fund this project via our primary activities in the firm. So we started there, and then we made it very, very simple, the minimum viable product of GoSign. And when that was ready, then we launched it. So we launched on Product Hunt and posted on LinkedIn and reached out to our personal network and other social platforms. And then it just got started from there. And I'd say that the launch went very well. On Product Hunt, I think we got number
third product of the day.
Yeah, so that was pretty nice.
Got you.
yeah. So that was pretty nice, and people were very positive about the product, and we had scheduled a lot of calls with people who were interested, mostly some from our personal network were the most eager to contact us, because they, like us, needed a solution, and others were too expensive, of course. So we got to talking with them, and then they gave us ideas of how we could further develop the product, and then it just went out there. So if I should give any advice to anyone thinking of creating a new product or a digital solution or anything, it's just to start wide on your launch, post it everywhere, and contact your friends and family and those you know, because if you get a good start, it just gets more easy down the line, I think.
And now you have a huge feature request list, right?
Yeah, because this great launch resulted in that maybe a week after we launched, we had over 100 users, and then we could contact them and they could give us ideas on how to further develop it. So as I stated, that GoSign was a minimum viable product, and based on the feedback that we got, we have had our backlog with the features that our customer wishes for, and then we prioritize based on how popular each are, and then we develop them. So for example, we've just gotten a new feature called sign forms in GoSign, and that's where you can, as a signee, so you can initiate the signature request. So if you as a company know, okay, we need to have an interview, and during this interview, you always need to sign an NDA, and it's always the same, only with few variables changing. Then we've made a feature that you can upload your contract to GoSign and define where these variables are. And then GoSign generates a link where you can just send the link to them, and then they can interact with it and fill out the dynamic variables. So that's pretty cool. I like talking to users and customers and stuff, and develop our solution based on that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I guess there are so many things to do right now, because we talked before, and I also gave you a list of feature requests to have in the software. How do you handle the prioritization part? Is it just based on how many people wish for a thing, or do you have something else?
Yeah, it's primarily based on demand. So if a feature is highly demanded, of course we prioritize that, but also some things come chronological, so you can't have one feature without another, for example. So if a person wanted the sign form feature, we for example needed to have a feature allowing for users to upload templates beforehand. So the users know what they want, but they don't always know in which order it should come. So they users are more like they give us the great ideas and then we act on them. And that's I think that's how developing a solution or IT system should be. Because in the end, it's your users that are determining if it's a success or if it's a flop. So,
yeah, how many user interviews do you make, like per week?
I'm not sure. It varies because sometimes we are in developing mode, so then I take contact to users a lot, and others we are more in a sales oriented mode. So as we are only two in the business or in the firm, we all of course have many different hats on. So currently I'm a salesperson. I contact people. Do you need this? And then I get rejected. But sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I've been looking for a solution. Maybe I should give that a go. Or yeah, currently I'm going the old school way. But if I ever need a online signature solution, I'd consider you. So currently we're in sales mode. So at the moment, I'm not talking to so many users, but I don't have an exact number.
Okay, but it's something you which is really important for you, like to on a regular.
Yeah, and terms, it can be hard to like get the interaction with the users because if I sign up to a solution, I'm not always up for you know the developers contacting me and saying, "Oh, do you want to participate in this?" Most and often you get a no, so you need to give a little carrot at the end of the stick. So maybe you say, okay, you can get some months free on this subscription or something. But it is a challenge to collect or to gain these interviews with the users. But I've found that if you mail them or if you contact them over text, they're more likely to respond than if you want to have a call where you talk with them and you observe and other stuff.
How many months does a person get for free if they do a user interview?
Yeah. So as we're in a starting position of GoSign, we like throw numbers out right and left. So maybe a user can get 3 months, you can get half a year. It varies. It depends on the day. If I'm in a good mood or if my colleague is in a bad mood, who knows? But or how desperate we are to talk with our users. So, because if we have a feature that we think this feature is crucial and we need to get some response on it, of course we are more likely to give a bigger reward to our user than if it was just like, what do you think about this? So yeah, it varies, but it's users are, in my opinion, the best information to how you should further develop your platform. And currently we strive to release an update to GoSign each month with new features, but I guess when we get further ahead, new features become harder to implement because you don't just want to add features to add features, but because then it becomes a solution with a lot of unnecessary functionality, and that can be confusing for new users, and we want it to be simple. That is one of our most highly prioritized items, is that it should be easy to adapt and it should be simple, so everyone should be able to use it. So you have to find the balance between adding a feature and leaving it out, or adding it in a way that it's not like what do you call it, disturbing for the main flow, because the main flow is obviously sign a document, but then you have many ways you can sign a document. You have many things you can put on a document signing. So how long should it be available? Should I be able to sign it if it's gone past this day and so on? So yeah, it's like finding the middle ground. It's also something that we're going for. Yeah. So developing and forming a solution is pretty straight for us because we are a IT consultancy agency or what do you call it, a software developing house. So we know how to do that kind of stuff. That's not new for us, but what's, or at least for me, new is being the sales guy, how to market a product, how to sell the product. So at the moment, our biggest hurdle is like, okay, how do we get out there? How do we contact people? Who should we contact, for example? So we have an idea that, okay, maybe salespersons are relevant for us. And so currently we are trying to contact those and see if they are needing a solution like ours. And so far it goes, or the response is very positive. We've been, to start with, we used multiple advertising platforms. So as Google, Google Ads and Captera. So we invested a little bit of money in that, where we could see, we get some demographics. So, okay, for example, people in Germany interact a lot with our solution on Captera. So obviously we should contact people in Germany. So currently we're actually contacting salespersons or people in sales within Germany, seeing if they want our solution. And
via LinkedIn or what platform do you choose to find people?
Yeah, via LinkedIn. So we have Salesforce from LinkedIn. Then you can make a search, you can or a filter, and then you just get a list, and then you can contact them and say, "Hey, I see that you're in sales. Would you be interested in using this, or more like, how is your signature process? Because if they already have an integrated solution into their system, like many CRM systems comes with the signature solution, those can be hard to combat. But if it's a small firm that uses the old ways just by signing in hand, then this is a relevant lead for us. And then we want to target this guy or follow up on this guy, see if we can't convert him over to being a customer. Currently we are targeting salespersons in Germany based on our results from Captera. And maybe this is good, maybe this is bad, I'm not sure. This is new for us, but it's the strategy that we are using. And I think it's going good.
What is your main learning so far from sales? I think it's pretty interesting as you're new to this topic.
Yeah, so you get a lot of rejections. that's new to me. like you contact them and I'd say at least 60% says, no, it's not relevant. I already have a solution or no, thank you. So that's pretty new, but I don't know, like I didn't think so much about targeting and segmenting people into boxes. And like, I know it from a user perspective. I have my stakeholders, they are these, and they have those or these characteristics. But within sales, you can have the same stakeholder in multiple areas. So you can say, for example, in Germany or in Denmark or in Sweden, these are three different demographics within sales, but it's the same within a user perspective. It's a user nonetheless. And then again, like for example, in Germany, I think on Captera, our product, what do you call it, site, is translated to German. So I think that many Germans enter our solution from Captera, but when they enter GoatSign, currently we only have one language. We don't support multi-language yet, but I think that's something we're going to prioritize in maybe in our next run or sprint or what you call it.
And how is Captera used? To be honest, I never really...
Captera is like a product catalog. So if you are in need of a digital signature solution, you can enter Captera and then you can say digital signature solution, and then it lists the different signature solutions who are on Capterra, and then it has, I think, a comparison as well, where you can see, okay, this costs so much for these features and this costs so much for those features. So it's like, I'd say it's a product catalog. So a lot of people from Germany interacted with our page or our product on Capterra, but when they enter the site, but then they don't convert. So then we have to get a hold of people and like say, okay, is this I call it a turnoff, that it only supports English because maybe your customers only require the contract to be transmitted in German to them, because the contract can be in German and you can add the variables which they can alter, but the mails you get from GoatSign is not in German. So we are looking to, and the UI is not in German either. So we are looking to add multi-language to see if this affects our conversion rate on Germans. For example, where on Capterra, if we check people from the Netherlands, they have like fewer people from the Netherlands interact with our product, but a higher percentage of them are converting into users. Why is that? And that's something that we're trying to locate. And are there other customer groups that are better to target than Germans or people from the Netherlands? I'm not sure. But this is our current biggest hurdle, is how do we get to people and who should we contact and how should we do it? So that is... I think that's our current situation where we are exploring.
But right now you mostly go like always on one specific person, like one salesperson. And so far you don't really do these big marketing campaigns because probably they would mean spending a lot of money.
Yeah. We haven't released any big marketing campaigns. It's more me and my colleague interacting with one guy at a time. Via LinkedIn, where we send them messages and seeing if we can convert them.
But we
have a small budget for Capterra, so that is primarily where most of our marketing money is going. That's for that, because we saw on Google that, first of all, Google is very highly used. I don't know if you know it, but it's a good platform. And when you are having an ad on Google, you get listed above others. And even though we had our ad on Google, we didn't get the same hit record as we do on Capterra. So that is also something you need to choose, like which media do you want to advertise yourself in.
So in Capterra, you pay like on Google Ads that you're listed first. And so the listing itself is probably for free, but to be listed first.
It costs per clicks, I think. And that's the same on Capterra, but the clicks were cheaper and we got more clicks on Capterra than compared to on Google, because people on Capterra are looking for solutions. So if you choose the right keywords on Capterra, you get shown to the right people, where on Google, people can write digital signature, and maybe they're not looking for a digital signature solution, but they get GoSign up as a listing. And then this is ineffective marketing on our side.
That's interesting. I didn't thought about this, but yeah, that's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, so
how many users, how many active paying users did you gain like that way so far, like with paying Capterra and reaching out to people via LinkedIn?
So if we just count users, because most of our users are on a free plan, I think we're soon we're crossing the 300 user mark. And I think we have around 30 paying users, maybe. Most of them have bought lifetime, so that's a one-time cost. But that's also good. Like we just want people on the platform to start with, and then when they use the platform, it's it's also advertising for us, because if they use it, they send a request to a person, and then they get to know it. So it's very valuable for us here in the start.
I think the lifetime subscription was such a clever step to do, because I think, like, right now your software has a clean UI, good user experience, but some features are missing that it could replace, like, some software tools people are using right now. But I think it, like, for me, it felt like a little investment of, okay, that could be a pretty cool tool in 1 year. And then I have, like, if you continue with that path, and then I have a lifetime subscription, which I paid once, forever. So I think that's pretty attractive, that idea, for both sides, for users, but also for you guys, because you can charge more money in the first place.
Yeah, obviously.
How did it went so far, like, with this lifetime subscription, and how do you feel about it?
The lifetime subscription was a stroke of genius from a colleague. He thought to himself, okay, so if we just get persons on the platform, it's going to be good for us. But currently we are seeing a rise in subscribing or paying customers. So we are, I think maybe next sprint, we are canceling the lifetime subscription. So the person who got in early got the deal, got the good deal. And the one downside to the lifetime subscription is that you are restricted to the amount of team members you can have. So, for example, if you were a larger firm, say you have 50 employees and each employee needs a subscription, you would obviously buy the large lifetime subscription or the lifetime package. But if you didn't, and you bought a one with 4 users or 5 users, and then you grow, and then you in some time need more team members. I'm not sure how we're going to handle that at that point, but eventually I assume that we're going to reach that. So that this is a conundrum that we need to solve in the future. But so far, lifetime has been a very good decision, and it gave us because we have features that are locked behind a paywall, so if we don't give people access to these features, we're not going to get them tested. So then if we didn't have any paying users, nobody would test them. So that's also why we give free licenses out to people, is to please test this for us, because we are a few men, and we can't run through every user scenario and expect to find all bugs. So lifetime was a great decision.
I'm not sure about the numbers, but I guess right now the numbers are, like, pretty impressive for that you just started, I think a few months ago. This was correct.
We launched, I can just...
So in April, you launched the first time on Product Hunt, August was the big launch, which got so successful. So you started, I guess, in the beginning of 2023, building this product.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And I guess it's still, like, bootstrapped and not at the point where it really financiates itself. It's more financiated via the agency at the moment.
It's not self-sustaining at the moment. It's still because we get a little bit of money when people pay the lifetime subscription, but it's not enough to outweigh the costs of developing the solution, because I invest my time and my colleague invests his time, and even though it's our product, it's still time that we could be spending on working or doing our primary activities with gains money to the company instead. So I think the costs are still outweighing the income, but at some point it'll turn a leaf, and then it will be in something you make money on.
A cash cow, goldism.
I'm not sure the actual term of it, but it will be generating revenue for us.
Yeah. Did you thought about getting investors on board, or do you want to continue with being bootstrapped?
I'm not sure. Like, so far, so good. We might consider going around on investors based on, like, I think it varies on how the future beholds. Like, if currently the development are going fine and it's not like ruining the company's revenue, so it's like, this is a cost that we can afford to have. So currently we are not in need of the investment, but still it would allow us to further maximize our development of GoatSign. But currently we're taking small steps just to not take a wrong step, if you know what I mean. Like, if you scale out your development and delegate stuff to multiple people, often than not, you can go on a tangent and then you have a completely different project or product than what you, if you've gone slowly, for example. So at the moment, I don't think we're looking for investors, but I think at some point it might be relevant. Yeah.
One thing I thought about, which could be concerning for people, I mean, if you're signing contracts like NDAs, like working agreements, like, I don't know, like, contracts are really, really important and they're really important things in there. So there are two concerns, I guess, which are really crucial to handle. First of all, like, how do you handle privacy? Like, what do you tell someone who's concerned about privacy stuff?
So currently, in different countries, you have like, I don't know, is it called GDPR in Germany as well?
So DSGVO in German, GDPR in Europe. There's now the Digital Markets Act. There are many things.
Yeah, so companies like under different legislations, which needs to be followed. And GoatSign enables the users to follow these. We are not deleting it for them. If they have an NDA, let's say, that only is only allowed to be stored for 3 months or 3 years, currently we don't have the feature, but it could be a feature that they say this contract is allowed to be stored for this long, but it's allowed for people to, they can delete it. And if it's deleted, it's gone from our side as well. So I think that privacy or upholding these are like a lot up to the customer or the user on how to handle this, because it's very difficult to uphold every requirement for each country and each company and stuff. So keep it flexible, I think, is a good way to.
But I'm also thinking about something different. I would say, no one ever has been fired for implementing Microsoft Office or SAP to a company. Because, like, one thing you definitely can say, it's reliable. It's maybe not the favorite tool of some people, but it's really, really reliable.
Microsoft makes good stuff,
etc.
Yeah,
I wouldn't agree 100%, but some of the stuff they do is great. Some is not, but first of all, it's reliable. And that's why never someone had been fired for taking like the big player on the market. I think if you go for a smaller player, you always have a chance, like comparing DocuSign and GoatSign, you always have a chance to get a better price and to be better involved in like feature requests, etc. To be closer to the founding team. But I think there's always the worry that like these small startups, they are losing passwords, they are leaking like information, etc. And that's the thing where I think people could be worried about. Of course, if I let people sign via GoatSign, I'm responsible for handling like their data privacy and that I'm deleting contracts, etc.
Yeah.
But how can I trust you guys that you are aware of your responsibility regarding data privacy?
Yeah, obviously there's a bigger question mark about the little guys on the market. But I think that we've done our part to be secure. Like we've done pen testing on our solution, and we're using Azure as our backend. We just implemented some blob storage. So we've done multiple measures to ensure that a contract doesn't end in the right or the wrong hands, only in the right hands. And there will always be insecurities, but I think that we've done a good part on our side, be ensuring to encrypt everything so it's not easily trackable. Like if you gain access to a person's email, for example, then you might be able to exploit GoatSign. But without email access, or if you want extra security, you can also, we have implemented so you can sign via a phone number. And this, we assume that when a contract needs to be signed or a document, a correspondent has been gone through on beforehand. So like you can validate a person based on their email or phone number. And if a person or a person with bad intent has gained access to another man's or woman's email or phone, they will be able to exploit it and sign for them. But without that, they aren't able to.
Okay, like answered for me, that feels good. And I guess it's nothing a marketing person would say, but I also appreciate that you're saying like, okay, there are always insecurities, but we are doing pen testing. We do two-factor authentication if a user wants this, etc. That's a pretty honest answer, but I think exactly the thing you should answer to such a question.
Yeah, like we are prioritizing security a lot. Like this, if people are using GoatSign for crucial contracts or contracts which must not come out to the wrong people, we of course need to be a secure solution. So we prioritize that a lot.
The other concern I guess people have, maybe one last thought to the privacy stuff. I think that also could be your big advantage, because right now I'm not 100% sure, but I think most of the big players are located in the United States. And especially maybe. As German, I think so. Maybe I just assumed, but isn't DocuSign an American company? And
yeah, they are in California and USA.
Yeah, and I think also other solutions I checked when I made the decision a few years ago were all in America. And this was for me a thing where I'm like, okay, Germany is pretty hard with data privacy. I think it's good, but Germany is pretty hard with data privacy. So the easiest thing you can do is just hire like software or buy software tools from German companies, because they also have to follow the same rules. And I assume that also Denmark has pretty high standards on data
privacy. Yeah, I think Denmark is, we're pretty digital in Denmark. So I think there's almost regulations for everything. So you need to store it in a certain way.
Which can be a good thing and a bad thing.
it's good, but you need to think about how you develop stuff then. But it's a good thing.
The other thing I think could be concerning to people is also very like, if you go with a big player, I can be 100% sure if I sign a crucial contract with DocuSign, this is like really checked by many, many legal people that this is like a real signature under this contract. Do you see this concern in people? Is this a real contract? If I sign it via DocuSign, is there maybe a question mark regarding that?
Yeah, like it depends on which country, I think, how they define a legal binding contract. So in Denmark, like a yes via a mail could be enough, but sometimes this is not enough. Some companies have like, you need to have it in a certain way and stuff. So I think whether or not a signature given via GoatSign is viable is determined where you are living. But if like based on our research, it seems that most places are covered by this. So I don't think Germany,
you would say like, okay, I'm safe if I'm using GoatSign.
Yeah, of course. Like it's you have your email and and if you sign it with your account connected to your email and a person says it's not you that has signed this, you can prove your identity by showing them I have access to this email that have been used for signing, for example, or I've used my phone number, and in Denmark at least a phone number is connected to your person. So I'm not sure in Germany, but you could also use phone, and then that would be a form of validation. We are also looking into incorporating in Denmark. We have a solution called MitID, and it's basically something that is tied to your person yourself. So I have a MitID account. So if if I need to log onto any government site, I use MitID. It's something everyone in Denmark has. And I think other countries has something like it. I'm not sure if you have anything in Germany.
We are on it. So in the future, your ID card will be able to, with NFC, to be like used for verifying via your phone.
Yeah,
I think
it's basically this personal ID card that has been digitized here in Denmark. And we are looking to if we should add this as a validation feature into our solution. But it depends on how many users we get from Denmark. And it depends on, like, for each transaction you do via MitID, you are also paying MitID or Nets or who made it a bit of money. So it's like it's also a cost in our revenue at the end. So if GoatSign is fine without it, then it should be demanded before we add it. But regarding the question if a signature is valid or not using GoatSign, I don't think there should be any concerns about that. You could just research like what are the regulations in my country for digital signing, and then you should get a pretty clear answer if this is valid or not. And that is also, I think it's the case for DocuSign as well. Like DocuSign does not get valid just because it's DocuSign. They don't have I think they have a certificate, a digital certificate, but that is only just for different PDF viewers to see, okay, this certificate is in a valid database. It doesn't make the signature more valid just because it has this certificate. It's just a nice feature to have.
Okay, so it sounds all good to me. I will continue using your tool. Like, again, out of transparency reasons, I want you to succeed because I have a lifetime.
Come with a lot of great ideas for us, and then maybe we'll implement it.
One last thing, the future of GoatSign. So right now you're an agency. Is there the chance that at some point, I like the idea that you're slow with investors and stuff. But do you think at some point there's the chance that you're closing the agency and go all in with GoatSign?
Maybe, or maybe like GoatSign grows so big that it becomes its own company, and then we have our agency, and then we have GoatSign. I'm not sure. The future is very, nothing is set in stone yet. So the future is very, very flexible for us. And based on how popular this gets, I don't know. Let's see. Maybe we'll become full-time GoatSign employees and only focus on this solution. But yeah, I have no idea. It's a very fun situation to be in. So I haven't talked much about myself. So I recently got my master's degree in IT. So that was last year at June, I think. And I've been at the consultant agency as a student worker as well on beforehand. So I've been at the company for a while, a few years. But I've only been out in the field as a real lifetime employee for a year and a half, maybe. So this is also a fun situation to be in for me, like navigating a very complex environment during consulting, during developing of custom software solution, and then also prioritizing some of your time on the signature solution. Yeah, so the future, I have no idea. We'll see. It could be fun. I like the product. I think it's a good product. So, yeah.
But you said, like when we are doing a preparation call, that you right now don't really have shares, like at the consultancy agency itself.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm not invested.
How would it be with GoldSign at some point? Like you think there are chances you get shares of the company nowadays company, or that you're like making your own GoldSign company and you're like part of a founding team? Because right now you're kind of a founder, right?
Because yeah, like in a way, like I'm forming it with my own hands. So I guess I'm a founder, but I'm not financially invested, and I'd like to be. It would be nice, but yeah, I'm not sure. It's up to my boss whether or not he's generous. Currently, I'm just learning from him. So he has been in the IT business for a long time. He has been running many projects across many different companies. So he has a lot of valuable insights that I'm just slurping. I gain him and then I can develop on him further on my personality. So currently I'm not financially invested, but if the opportunity strikes, I think I'll take it. I believe in this project, so for sure it would be nice.
how is your combination, like how are you working together on GoldSign itself?
So GoldSign is primarily, so we sit down and talk, okay, so which of these features would be nice to have in the next sprint or just in GoldSign? And then we say, okay, we would like the user to be able to do this, and we should like the user to be able to do that. We would like to enhance it in this way. And then when we have gained a backlog of items that we like and say, this should be a part of our suite, then it's up to me to like, I create mockups so we can talk about them, say, okay, this is how I imagine we could do this. And then my colleague is like, okay, but maybe we could do it like this way. And then we come to a common ground. And then based on that, I write a task for our developers saying how they need to develop it and how it needs to look. So I'm driving a lot of the development of the solution, but I am always consolidating my coworkers. So I'm not. Sometimes I take decisions just because it's small things that we don't need to take up on what you call it, the both of us. But the development and the forming of GoldSign is a two-man job. But I'm driving the development. Meanwhile, my colleague is doing the consulting in our company.
How is it with design? Is it done by you or by the developers? That's a missing part for me.
I'm designing it. We've used a what do you call it?
It's like a library or something.
Yeah, it's like a theme. And then we've customized the theme to the way we want it. And then if we need a new page or a new something, we go into the theme and say, okay, this could be built upon. And then I take it and then I put it in Figma, which is a mock-up program. And then I design it from scratch and say, okay, we want a drop-down here. We want a input field here. And the button should be here. And the text should say that. And the text should say this. And the color should be like that. So I'm also designing it, but sometimes my mockups are designed in a way that the developers are not able to do. So maybe the final product has skewed a little bit from my design, but it still has the essence of me in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy. You are a product manager, product owner, UX person, salesperson, and a designer. And probably you do support as well.
Yeah, I handle a lot of stuff. As I said, I navigate a very complex environment.
Impressive. So, impressive, yeah. Man. I really appreciate that you took the time today. I'm pretty excited for the future.
So am I.
For GoTime. I hope it's going well. I mean, I feel like being invested, actually.
It's good. We're like, you're a key stakeholder, and I'll get in touch with you regarding new features soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time today, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. I really enjoyed this episode with Malte. Please feel free to join GoTime, give it a try. And if you like the episode, share it with friends, share it with colleagues, like it, give it 5 stars, whatever your software for listening to podcasts is giving you. See you next time.